Welcome to Let's Talk About Life, a podcast brought to you by LifePath. Donation can be a complicated subject, but it is really all about life. Spend a few minutes as we unravel the complexities of donation. Let's talk about life.
Let's face it, on the average day, you don't usually think about our organs functioning and doing their job, unless, of course, there is a health issue. We generally try to stay healthy, stay in decent shape, stay hydrated, and do what the doctors tell us to do. But we move on to our life, and we focus on what we feel are more important issues. One organ that allows us to live in this state of all is well is our liver. The liver has an important job. It filters the blood, removing toxins and waste products, while also producing bile. It also aids in digestion, regulating blood sugar levels, storing essential nutrients like vitamins, and producing proteins necessary for blood clotting. It is essentially our central processing center for the body's metabolism and detoxification system. So now imagine, one day, your liver just stops working. Your body would go into shock and begin preparing for death. And that is exactly what happened to our guest on this episode. Hi, you're listening to episode 159 of Let's Talk About Life. I'm your host, Colleen Gerber, kidney recipient and LifeBank staff member. October, among other things, is Liver Awareness Month, and we're going to discuss the importance of that underappreciated organ with someone who knows how vital it is. Tammy Horvat, a liver transplant recipient, is sharing her story with us today about what happened when she went into acute liver failure. Tammy, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Colleen, for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Well, we're excited to have you, for sure. Can you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your life prior to liver failure?
Absolutely. I am a wife and a mom, and I manage a major collision facility. So just a busy life with kids and work and just on the go a lot. I never was very sick, the typical colds and flus, but never in the hospital. You know, everything that I would get done annually that you're supposed to get done always came back great, never had any issues. So just living a normal, busy life.
Well, that sounds good. You were just living life and going forward with your family and, you know, work and your activities. How did the liver failure occur, and how did you feel?
So around probably the middle of April of 2023, what I first started noticing right away was I became very tired. I always have a bunch of energy, and I was taking naps. I would come home from work and just not be tired. I would be exhausted and just want to lay down or go to bed immediately after I got home. So that was the first major thing I started noticing about my body, and something wasn't right. And then it progressed to feeling like I had really bad indigestion, and then I wasn't able to really eat anything at all. So I called my primary doctor, and he said, you know what, let's get some blood work. Let's see what's going on, and then I'll call you if anything shows up. So I went and got blood work done. His office called me and just said, hey, you have a little bit of elevated liver enzymes, but everything else looks great. So your doctor wants to have you come back in a couple of weeks. We're going to just kind of retest your blood work and just make sure everything still looks good. In that meantime, I just started getting worse. Sleeping so much. I couldn't even work. I called off of work. And after that point, probably that third week in April, I didn't go back to work until, you know, after my recovery with my transplant. because I just couldn't function. I was so, so tired. When I went back to get my blood work done a couple weeks later, my liver enzymes were in the thousands.
Oh, wow.
You know, and typically there's two readings with liver enzymes, and both of them were just in the thousands. So my doctor personally called me and said, I need you to get to an ER. I'm going to call them. We need to get you admitted. Something's going on. And I did. We went to the hospital, and I spent 5 days in the hospital, and tons of tests ran, scans, blood work. And it came back and they said, well, it looks like you had Epstein-Barr virus, which is a form of mono.
Oh.
And this could make your liver enzymes go up. And I was just kind of shocked when they said, you know, a form of mono, because I've been married for so long. But so they released me, and I just kept getting worse. And I mean, I owe so much to my family doctor, because I contacted him and I said, something is not right. And instead of saying, we'll make an appointment and we'll see you, you know, in a month or two, he heard me and I felt seen, and he said, let's get a scan done. You know, maybe it's your gallbladder, maybe it's your pancreas. And that all came back okay. And then I started noticing some jaundice in my eyes. And at that point, when I called him and said, hey, there's something really going on, he took it upon himself and said, I need to get you to a liver specialist. So he made an appointment for me to go up to UH to see a liver specialist. And we went up there. I was examined, and they suspected that I had autoimmune hepatitis.
Oh my gosh.
And said, you know, you can't get rid of it, but it is treatable. So they wanted me to do a liver biopsy first before they started treating it, which typically is with steroids. I went and had the liver biopsy done. And the last thing that I remember is on a Friday of May 27th that I got a notice on my chart, and my liver biopsy results were back. And it said that I did have autoimmune hepatitis. I remember calling the doctor's office up at UH, and because it was Memorial Weekend, he was out of the office until Tuesday, and, you know, said, well, I'll make sure that he calls you when he returns. And that is the last thing that I remember until I woke up and had my transplant, because after that, my husband had come home from work and found me, you know, I wasn't responding to him. We called the doctor and he said, get her to the hospital right away. So I went to Ahuja in Beechwood first, and then they transferred me to the main campus.
Oh my gosh, what a scary situation for your family.
Yeah, everything happened so quickly and suddenly that I went into acute liver and renal failure. And my husband was told, you know, you need to call the family, you need to get them here. It was just that serious. So after that Friday, I don't remember anything, like I said, until I woke up from, you know, my transplant and told that I had a liver transplant.
You had mentioned you went into that transplant situation. You weren't listed previously, but you went in as an 1A status. And that is the top of the list, the sickest person, as sick as you can be. So that's a priority. And did you know how long you waited before you got that liver?
You know, there was requirements that I still had to meet to be listed. And then once listed, I was a 1A status, which, you know, is the most critical. I believe they told my husband I got listed on that Saturday or Sunday, I believe. And within less than 12 hours, they had two livers available for me.
Wow.
And the one liver, when they went to go get it, it was not viable. They were not able to use it. And luckily, one of my wonderful surgeons, Dr. Stuart Lewis, she had kept that second one because she was entitled to have two. And then they went and got the second one, and it was an amazing liver.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my gosh. It's so scary and yet so inspirational.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because I'm hearing all the stories from my family, my transplant team, because I didn't know any of it. So, you know, there were things that they told me early in recovery. And then there were things that they gradually would tell me how serious it really was. You know, the biggest thing was just getting me healthy and getting me strong again, because I had been in a hospital bed for about 10 days or so, you know, until I was out of ICU and stuff. So the first time therapy would come in and try to get me to stand up, I had no muscle. So I was like a deer on ice. You know, I couldn't believe how quickly your strength diminishes.
Yeah.
So it was a tough recovery, but it was amazing at the same time.
And what a blessing that two livers that matched. I mean, that is the key.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always an easy thing to achieve. So we're so blessed that you received the transplant and that you were able to recover. Speaking of recovering, what are your thoughts about this new life, this new way of living as a transplant recipient?
At first, it wasn't easy. It was a big change. I felt like I closed my eyes, and when I opened them, everything had changed and was different. And I've always been a very strong, independent person, and I wasn't for the first time in a long, long time. And so it was hard, and it was hard accepting and taking in what happened, and that somebody unfortunately did not survive and I did. And it was a guilty feeling I felt, but I got involved in therapy very quickly. And it was something that my transplant team suggested I do. And my family was very supportive of it. And just along with the team at UH, along with my therapist, it turned all of the guilt and all of that into something that, even in the midst of something so horrible for a family, that this person or this family made the choice that this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to, you know, make a significant impact on somebody's life, even in the midst of their sorrow. And to give that kind of hope to somebody is just the biggest blessing ever. And kind of after that point, I went in with the motto, don't let the hard days win.
I love that. And
I even, you know, I got a gift for Dr. Stuart Lewis, and that was it. It was just a small plaque. And, you know, I wrote her a letter and just said, this has been my motto. Just don't let the hard days win. Because there were hard days. There, you know, occasionally is little hiccups. But I just feel so grateful and so blessed to be here. And be able to experience all the things that I'm able to experience today.
Yeah.
And so
I'm just wondering, do you know anything about your donor, or have you reached out to your donor's family?
I have reached out to my donor's family. I wrote them a letter, you know, finding those words, because my biggest thing was I wanted them to know, you know, one, their loss, and acknowledge that, but also to let them know that I want to honor their loved one. I want to create a legacy for them that is all about them, and live the best life that I possibly can because of them. And I have not heard back, but for me, it was just, you know, I would love to hear back from them, obviously, but it was just more important for me to let them know how grateful I was, and that, you know, I acknowledge their loss as well.
I agree. in the bigger scheme of things, I agree with you. It's more important for them to know the appreciation and the impact their loved one made. They did what they needed to do. I feel you, and I agree with you 100%. I think you're so right about that. Moving forward, you're 17 months post-transplant, right?
About 15 months.
Oh, 15 months, okay.
Or 507 bonus days.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So how is post-transplant life? Now that you're a little bit, you got your feet firmly planted and you're a little bit used to the new routines, how is life as a recipient?
Life is amazing because I always felt like I lived life pre-transplant. But post-transplant, I just have such a different outlook of life. So every day for me, you know, it could be raining and I'm like, okay, it's raining, but you know what? I'm here to enjoy the rain. But it's amazing. It's amazing to, I was able to see my oldest daughter get engaged and, you know, our youngest daughter is in high school and she's on a tennis team, and to be at those games and watch her. And you know, my husband and I were fortunate enough last night to experience the Guardians, you know, playoff game. And, you know, on the way home, we were talking and I said, you know, all because of my donor hero was I able to be there and have that experience. And so it's just been, you know, I live every day. I try to live every day to the fullest.
Well, last night, I'm telling you, that was one game to be at. So that's about as full as you could be.
It was amazing. It truly, truly was. It was, you know, the experience to be there with my husband, who a team that just never gives up. And, you know, it really, really was. It was so amazing.
It's awesome. It's awesome. It is, though, that special times are just a little bit more special and day-to-day stuff is a little less mundane, I think. As a recipient, you have this new lens on life. And even when you're years and years out, you still stop and go, wow, I get to experience this. What a blessing. What a blessing.
Absolutely. I think with any aspect, my work has been amazing with me through everything that I've gone through and how long I was out of the office. But coming back, just how supportive they've been. And when I enjoy my job, and not that it doesn't get hectic at times, but I compartmentalize it so much easier now, you know, you know, because there's just so many more other important things. And not that work isn't an important thing, but you truly start realizing what really, really matters the most in your life.
Yeah. At the cost of almost losing it.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So Tammy, as we wrap up here, I'm just curious, is there anything special you want to share with our listeners or anything that I didn't ask you that you want to talk about?
I just feel like you have a platform and I want to have a platform to just really let people know, just to bring awareness to organ donation. It's such a simple procedure to sign up to be an organ donor, and it truly, truly, how it impacts people's lives. It gives hope to people, and I just hope that people do really consider being an organ donor. It made me so proud that my 15 and a half year old, she just got her temps a few weeks ago, and my husband took her, her dad took her, and she sent me a picture at work of her temps, and she registered to be an organ donor. And it just truly, truly touched me. So it does make a difference.
It sure does. It's the best gift anybody can receive or give. So sign up.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Sign up.
Well, Tammy, thank you so much for spending time talking. And I feel like I've known you forever. And I just Can't wait to meet you one day and give you a big hug and just congratulate you. And I know you're going to do wonderful things in this world just by your attitude and vibe you give off and the fact that you're so grateful for your gift of life.
Well, thank you, Colleen, for having me. I've enjoyed every conversation that we've ever had, and you've said it. I mean, I feel like I could spend hours on the phone with you, and I look forward to us meeting. And thank you for having this podcast, because, you know, I look forward to the new episodes and listening to them, and everyone seems to resonate a little bit, you know, for me or for others. So thank you for all the work that you do.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It really is. It's my passion, and I know what the gift is, and it's my way of giving back and offering hope to not only those on the waiting list and other recipients, but to those donor families, that their loved one made it possible for us to live on. There's nothing like that. Yeah. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk About Life. If you have questions about today's podcast, reach out to us at info@lifebank.org. Take a few minutes to do something heroic and register to be an organ donor by saying yes at lifebank.org. Literally, someone's life is depending on it.